It took COVID to bring the term cytokine storm to popular attention, yet they are present and serious in a number of medical conditions. Seagen Therapeutics in San Diego is working on interventions in the face of cytokine storms. Jim Joyce is its CEO. Well, Jim, welcome back to Biotech Nation.
Moira, it's wonderful to be on with you today.
Now, some of the medical terms we've all become familiar with during the pandemic aren't just about the pandemic or about COVID. And included in that list is cytokine storm. What's a cytokine? And what's the difference between a good one and a bad one? Too many and just enough?
Well, that's right. And that's a pretty scary terminology, isn't it? Cytokine storm. But Moira, the cytokines, they're part of your natural immune response. And what happens in severe infections, and it's not just COVID-19. This is across the broad spectrum of viral infections, bacterial infections. From time to time, the immune system will over-respond to infection, and it'll flood the bloodstream with pro-inflammatory cytokines, which can cause organ damage, tissue damage, and it can lead to death.
So what you have are pro-inflammatory, which are not very good to begin with, but if you have a whole lot of them, then they become that storm that we've been hearing about.
Right. They're like the big bully in your your immune system, where once they control infection, they kind of go out of control and start attacking the body.
Now, besides COVID, what else could cause a cytokine storm?
Well, the cytokine storm is primarily induced by a viral infection, bacterial infection, but it can also be induced by other forms of injury and trauma. Well, for example, Moira, the Spanish flu of 1918, a lot of deaths were associated with cytokine storm syndrome. And even the Ebola outbreak of 2014, of which we participated in my former company treating Ebola with medical device technologies, that was a condition where cytokine storm syndrome was commonly associated with death.
Now, what happens after the cytokine storm? I mean, what happens in your body?
Well, the primary result of cytokine storm syndrome is usually tissue damage, organ damage, and it's a matter of rebalancing the immune system, which hopefully that occurs on itself with most patients, but oftentimes that doesn't happen, and it could lead to sepsis. The inflammatory cytokines that you see highly elevated in sepsis are very consistent with what you'll see in cytokine storm syndrome, and these are conditions that can lead to death.
Now, the common element here, it seems like we either have bad actors, cytokines that are bad and we don't want them, or even good cytokines, but we have too many of them. And if I was just sort of a normal everyday person, I'd say, okay, so do you have a drug for this? And do you? What are you working on?
Well, unfortunately, there are no drugs that can address cytokine storm syndrome. For the same reason, there's no drugs to address sepsis, and that is there's too many different targets. It's not one specific target that a targeted drug could go after. You need to be able to quickly be able to modulate or rebalance this hyperactivation of cytokines that's occurring from the immune system, but not just have a rapid real-time impact on reducing pro-inflammatory cytokines, but also eliminating the source of inflammation, which, you know, could be COVID-19 virus, or it could be a multitude of other viral or bacterial infections in most cases. So drugs are constantly being tested, Moira, but generally they're single target drugs. You see a drug against a cytokine called IL-6 or a drug to address TNF-alpha. They're regularly tested, but have not demonstrated the ability to provide clinical benefit in controlled studies. Our approach at Seagen Therapeutics is to rapidly eliminate both the inflammatory cytokines in concert with eliminating the pathogen source, which in COVID-19 is the virus itself. Well, Moira, what we're doing is significantly different. We're focused on advancing blood purification therapeutics. And so in the case of treating cytokine storm syndrome, we've developed a device that can rapidly address inflammatory cytokines in concert with eliminating the pathogen sources of the inflammation, which are the virus itself and COVID-19. Additionally, there are underlying toxins, as well as particles that we call cytovesicles that previously haven't been targeted by other therapies. And these are actual large proteins that are transporting inflammatory cytokines and other inflammatory cargos throughout the bloodstream.
Okay, so you're not developing a drug. What are you developing?
Well, we're developing an advanced blood purification technology. So think about people that have end-stage renal disease, people with kidney failure. So it's very similar in theory to kidney dialysis treatment, where a patient's blood is circulated through a dialysis cartridge. The bloodstream turns over, the entire circulatory system passes through the device in a matter of 15 minutes or so, depending on the size of the patient. And each turn of the circulatory system removes small molecule toxins to assist the kidney in its function. In our case, we're removing much larger targets, inflammatory cytokines, infectious viruses, bacterial toxins, and as I mentioned, cytovesicles, which are actual vessels, you could say, that are transporting inflammatory cytokines throughout the circulatory systems.
Now, we've been saying cytovesicles, and I have to say I hadn't heard that term before, but you guys, well, you created it. You invented it because there's a reason for that. There wasn't really a term yet for this whole group of inflammatory proteins.
That's correct. There hasn't previously been a term that defined these large proteins that were transporting inflammatory cytokines. And in fact, many researchers thought these particles a few years ago were just cellular debris with no biological function. And today, we know that these are transport mechanisms that that move various different cargos throughout the body and can underlie a variety of different disease conditions. But underlying life-threatening inflammatory conditions, what we now know is that these cytovesicles are transport mechanisms for inflammatory cargos.
You are in grave danger, basically, of losing your life if in the aftermath of this storm. What are you trying to do at that point? This is the intervention. That is someone who would need one of these treatments?
Well, that's correct. There's no time to waste when you treat cytokine storm syndrome. And again, it's very much like sepsis. You have to, in our belief, you have to rapidly address and rebalance inflammatory cytokines in concert with eliminating the source of inflammation, which may be viral or bacterial.
You know, I recall that this kind of a therapeutic technique, this kind of a medical device, was included post 9/11 in the big BioShield initiative.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Moira, because I was very active on Capitol Hill and testified on the need for medical device countermeasures, specifically blood purification technologies, because the reality is it's not possible to align post-exposure drug therapies with threats, especially when you don't know what the emerging threat is going to be. Until there's an actual outbreak of a pathogen or a dissemination of a bioterror agent, you know, until that occurs, you don't have a starting point to advance a drug development program. So we believe our vision has always been that you need medical devices, specifically blood purification technologies that have broad spectrum capabilities to address viral pathogens, bacterial toxins, but at the same time can inhibit the overproduction of inflammatory cytokines that cause severe infections.
Now, this is a medical device, and it's so much quicker to get a medical device approved, studied and approved with the FDA than a drug. We know that. We're talking couple of years to, instead of 12 to 15 for your typical drug, only one out of nine succeed in the drug phase. But that doesn't mean that you don't do studies. And tell us about, you know, for instance, your latest study, what you're doing there.
Moira, in regards to our studies, we've completed a series of in vitro studies which demonstrate the capabilities of our device to remove therapeutic targets. So these include pro-inflammatory cytokines, as well as viral pathogens, bacterial toxins. We did a study that modeled the removal of cytovesicles that we spoke of earlier. And additionally, we have an interest in inflammatory conditions where there's inflammation that contributes to various forms of liver failure, including hepatic encephalopathy. And so in some cases, we call that HE as an acronym, but in certain cases, there's inflammation, which causes the blood-brain barrier to become very permeable, and it allows toxins that aren't being removed by the liver because of liver failure to move across the blood-brain barrier and can cause people to become comatose. And we believe the use of our technology could be extremely important in that indication as well.
What causes HE?
Well, it's driven by liver failure. It can be acute forms of liver failure, chronic forms of liver failure. It's actually quite common in people with cirrhosis, at least the lower grades, but there's four grades, and grade three and four are extremely severe. Grade three, people generally aren't aware of their circumstances or situation. Grade four is defined as a coma. And essentially, your liver is not able to remove toxins such as bilirubin, bile acids, ammonia, and it moves across the blood-brain barrier into the brain. So in our most recent study, we demonstrated the ability to simultaneously eliminate the presence of bile acid, bilirubin, and ammonia from human blood. So that was a great study that validated the capabilities of our device, not just to treat life-threatening inflammatory conditions such as sepsis, but also to move into other indications as well.
And how long did it take to remove significant levels?
Oh, in the case of bilirubin, we removed greater than 85% in the very first hour.
Well, some of these people are really looking for you at this point. How do we get rid of this? Well, we'll just remove it.
Well, let's just say if you're a grade three or grade four hepatic encephalopathy patient, your mortality rate, your 30-day mortality rate is upwards of almost 40%. So a very significant problem and a major unmet need in health.
We were talking earlier about kidney failure and having to go in for dialysis. Many of those people are waiting for new kidneys. What about people who are waiting for new livers? Would this be helpful?
We believe so, especially for patients that are on the waiting list and they need a bridge to transplant. Unfortunately, for many patients, they never get to the transplant. They die before an opportunity for the transplant occurs. So a potential capability to bridge a patient to their transplant could be quite important. And the liver performs many, many different functions, but the basic function of removing toxins is something that we could be very effective at, in our belief.
What are we looking at in terms of approval? And do you have to get a different approval for every different kind of filter you put in this system?
So Moira, the challenge for medical devices, the bar is somewhat lower. We have to demonstrate safety in health-compromised individuals, and then we have to demonstrate efficacy, that our device is effective in treating people in controlled studies. These are still significant challenges, but not the...
I didn't mean to say you had an easy time of it.
No, it's I understand. But for us, you know, our pathway is to demonstrate safety and then bridge our device into pivotal studies of different disease indications where there's an unmet need that needs to be filled. And these are large market conditions such as sepsis, but they're also smaller market conditions where the need is very significant, like hepatic encephalopathy, which I mentioned earlier. We are planning to file what's called an investigational device exemption towards the end of this year that requests permission to initiate human studies. We anticipate the patient population that will be required would be upwards of 10 to 12 subjects based on our historic interactions with our review team at CDRH, which is the FDA division that we work through. And then we demonstrate, if we're successful in demonstrating that our technology is safe and well tolerated, then we'll leverage that safety study into pivotal studies for a variety of different indications, which might include sepsis or hepatic encephalopathy, you know, and a variety of other potential opportunities.
Well, this is really fascinating stuff, Jim. You know, you're always welcome on Biotech Nation. I hope you come back and see us. Thanks.
Oh, I'm so appreciative. Thank you, Moira.
Jim Joyce is the CEO of Segan Therapeutics in San Diego. More information is available at SeganTherapeutics.com. That's Segan, S-I-G-Y-N, SeganTherapeutics.com. For Tech Nation, I'm Moira Gunn.
Tech Nation and its regular segment Biotech Nation are produced at the studios of KQED-FM in San Francisco. Executive producer is Matt Gardner. The director of technical production is Monte Carlos. And audio engineers include Howard Gelman, Seal Mahler, and Larry Upton. Our theme music was composed by Ann Nachtrieb-Zesiger and Robert Powell, with title creation provided by NameLab Incorporated of San Francisco. Program information and internet audio is available on the web at technation.com. Tech Nation and Biotech Nation are productions of Tech Nation Media. I'm Paul Landcore.